Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of TBD Adult. I'm your host, Sarah Moore, and today I'm joined by a very special guest. Some of you may know him as Dante's Life on TikTok or even his growing podcast called Know Your Worth. I'm so excited to introduce Dante Brunelli.
What's going on, guys? I'm super happy to be here. I'm so glad that you reached out to me and wanted me to do this, so I think we're going to have some good conversation. I hope people can learn from it.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we get started, I just wanted to let you have a chance to share a little bit about yourself, the content that you create, and like what you're currently doing, where you're from, anything else that you want to throw in.
Yeah, so born and raised in Utah. For people that know about that culture, I'm sure you'll have something to say. It's all good. No hate. I'm actually not LDS, so for anyone that's going to ask. So that was an interesting dynamic growing up here. And after that, you know, living in Utah my entire life, I actually moved to North Dakota, where I played college basketball, which was an amazing experience. I made some lifelong friends, and I learned a lot about myself through that process. And right after that is when I actually started creating my TikToks, and I started diving deep into social media and just content creation in general. And I realized the message that I wanted to put out to people, and it's kind of been a journey ever since then. So that's gotten me where I'm at. That's a very short, brief introduction of myself, but hopefully that can give people some context.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So what would you say that your content as of right now mainly focuses on?
I would say self-improvement. Obviously, a lot of the stuff that I post, if you've watched it, dives deeper into relationships. Dives deeper into relationship stuff mainly, but overall self-improvement and just how to realize your worth and be the best version of you. That's something I'm super passionate about helping people get into.
Yeah, which that's actually one of the things that drew me to you and like your account. You had popped up on my For You page. So this kind of is how we ended up getting connected, was because I don't remember what specific video it was, but it one of them where you're sitting in your car spewing absolute facts, as you should. But pretty much what it was, I felt like your content that you put out is definitely something that I feel really passionate about as well. I think it's important to put out content that other people can relate to and, in a sense, learn from and grow from, because content that doesn't have weight and value behind it, I feel like is not worth putting out there.
Totally agree.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, I totally agree, and thank you for the compliment. I appreciate it. But I think there's a lot of negative stuff that gets put out, and unfortunately, that's what gets highlighted, because it grabs people's attention. So I did not want to be that. And that's not who I am, like, at all. So I just want to put out a good message to people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're totally right. I think society nowadays, it's almost like a fast grab on the internet. It's whatever you can put out there that's going to get a reaction out of somebody is what starts trending or gets a lot of, like, likes and views, and people start paying attention to it. And a lot of the messages behind it just aren't healthy, especially for people who are young that are viewing it and very impressionable. So I think it's really great that you're putting out content that focuses on the lighter side and the healthier side of things.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And yeah, unfortunately, that's true. You know, I look at someone like Bryce Hall is just an example. You know, I obviously don't know him as a person. I don't know what he's been through, so I can't judge him. But what I can say is I don't think he takes accountability for the stuff that he posts. And I don't think he realizes how many young kids' lives he's impacting with the stuff that he does. So, you know, I heard he just got in a fight with a waiter the other day because he told him he couldn't vape in the restaurant. You know, how much that's true, I don't know, but I did see a video of it, and it just, to me, it doesn't feel like he's handling himself properly, but, you know, it is what it is.
Oh, yeah, I totally know what you're talking about, so.
I'm sure you've seen it.
Yeah. So a little bit about how we ended up getting connected, which is very on brand and very on theme for this episode. I ended up reaching out to Dante on Instagram. It was actually pretty late at night. It was the first time I had seen one of your videos. And I was like, you know what? This guy would be such a great guest to have on the podcast, especially because of just the content that I create as well. I felt like we would vibe off of each other and have good conversations when it comes to this topic. So I ended up reaching out to him, and to my surprise, he responded. And so here we are after I shot my shot, and we're going to now talk about why you should shoot your shot. So to get started, what does shooting your shot mean to you?
Well, I think it depends on the situation, but really in general, I think it means putting yourself out there and being bold with what you're saying and believing in it. So obviously when we're, you know, relating to someone shooting their shot on Instagram, whether that be for, you know, relationship purposes or even like you did reaching out to me, I think it just means going for what you feel is true and going for what you want. So putting yourself out there.
Yeah, I completely agree. So I think honestly, the term like shooting your shot is kind of funny. It's definitely used nowadays really like ironically and kind of jokingly, I feel like. But to like shoot your shot to me, I feel like you said, it's putting yourself out there and not being afraid to take a chance and going after what you want, which in a sense, whether that's a potential relationship or a job or just anything that requires you to put yourself in a vulnerable position.
Yeah, I completely agree.
And when it comes to like a romantic sense, shooting your shot, what would that be like to you?
Well, if it's what's going to form into a romantic sense, I would say obviously someone, whether that be through Instagram, in person, through text, whatever it may be, or Snapchat, any social media, is, like I said, putting yourself out there, taking a chance on something that you don't have any assurance on, right? So you don't know if that person's going to respond. You don't know if they're going to like you. So you're taking that risk. But I always tell girls especially, and I don't want to dive into this too soon if we're going to talk about it later, but is just inherently be yourself if you're going to reach out to a guy. And same thing goes for a guy. I think too many times people try and go into it with like a cheesy pickup line or just something that's so overused, I would just say. And so for me, you know, not to be arrogant or anything, but I get thousands of DMs. So like when I see a DM
Popular.
No, I don't mean it like that, but I'm just going to have some context. Like I see this stuff on a daily basis. So when I get DMs that I see every day, I'm like, okay, well, that's, you know, that's not very original. I'm not even going to respond to that. So I would say if you can go into it just genuinely being yourself and having something really respectful and nice that you want to say, that's what I would say is the best thing to do. So if it's in a romantic sense, I would say trying to, whether it be set up a date or just start talking to that person casually and see what it leads to, that's what I would say it is. So sliding into the DMs or text messages.
What about in a professional sense?
Professional sense, I'd say, is a little different. You know, same idea, but whether it be, you know, you want a mentor in life, I think you need to prove to them that you're willing to work without wanting anything in return. And you need to be willing to learn and humble yourself. So, like I said, putting yourself out there and taking that risk, you might get rejected, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. You're going to learn from those rejections. I know I personally have as well. So, in a professional sense, doing something that's scary, taking risks, something that you know you might fail at, but you'll become better at.
Yeah, absolutely. I think also a little bit for a professional sense is the idea of networking, because you're reaching out to all these different individuals who could potentially lead to other opportunities for you. And at least for me in college, I really wish, especially being a communication major, that more classes emphasized the whole idea of networking and how far that really does get you. And for shooting your shot, I think it's that concept of being open to seeing what other people have to offer for you and reaching out regardless of what you think that may be.
Yeah, and I always tell people too, it goes with your point, is that you can learn from anyone, whether you agree with them or you disagree with them. If you, like I said, if you can humble yourself and just take it all in, you can learn a lesson from anything that's being told to you.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's where the majority of your self-growth comes from, is from learning from other people and then taking that on for yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, learning how to apply it.
Absolutely. So when we're talking about taking that leap of faith and putting yourself out there, there's like obviously always that possibility of rejection. So how do you come to terms with the idea of possibly being rejected?
So my grandpa actually told me this when I was 11, and I told him that I liked this girl at school and I was afraid to go talk to her. And he looked me dead in my face and he said, Dante, he said, what is the worst thing that girl can say to you? And I said, I guess no. And he said, exactly. So he said, if you put yourself out there and all she says is no, what do you do from there? I said, I guess I just move on. And he said, exactly. So he said, stop overplaying it and making it a bigger deal than it needs to be. One, when you don't even know the answer, and two, when the worst answer is no. So you, and like, you know, you don't know unless you ask. So that was his point. It's just don't make it some big, scary thing when you don't even have an answer from the beginning. So for me, it's like, like I said, you can learn from rejection, you can grow from rejection, but don't make it out to be some crazy big task when you don't even know what's going to happen. Don't create some false story in your head.
Oh, totally. It's actually funny that your grandpa gave you that advice. My mom gave me the same advice. And for me, coming to terms with the idea of rejection, I'm honestly more afraid of not knowing what would happen if I never even tried than the idea of rejection itself. So I would much rather be rejected to begin with and know that I at least tried rather than not trying and sit with myself wondering if I had even given it a shot, like what would have happened.
Totally. And that plays into not just, you know, being rejected in a relationship or dating scene or just talking to someone for the first time, but also into business too. Like the mentors that I've had and the people that I study, they always say, you know, life is work no matter what you're going to do. So you might as well work and get rejected in the things that you are passionate about and you want to grow in. So I've really tried to apply it to my life and working for your goals and your dreams and not someone else's. So that plays into it. But I think another thing just going along with the idea of possibly being rejected and how to deal with it is really being in tune with yourself. Because for me, like I would just move on really quickly. Like I said, like learn from it and embrace it. But I just don't really care that much depending on the scenario. So I don't know. I think it's just about having perspective, I guess, is my point.
Yeah, definitely. And for me, I don't know if you're the same way, but I'm one of those people that's a firm believer. And if it's meant for me, it'll happen. And just because it doesn't happen right now doesn't mean that it's never going to happen for me. Like maybe this is just not my right time for this, whatever it is to be happening in my life. And I think that guides, honestly, like a lot of my decisions is knowing that even though right now the door is closed, giving it another shot maybe later on doesn't mean that I'm going to get that same answer again.
Mm-hmm. No, totally. And I think if you just continue to stay consistent and put in the effort and, like I said, you give without asking for anything in return, you will have those opportunities in your life, whether it be now or later.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of like continuing with what you were saying, when you deal with rejection, would you say that you move on relatively fast?
I think it depends, like I said, on what it is, but in general, yes.
I think that definitely differs per person. At least for myself, the way that I like to deal with rejection is first, I like to let myself actually feel whatever I'm feeling. I would definitely describe myself as like an empath. So when I feel something, I kind of feel it pretty largely. But if I'm like upset or frustrated or whatever about how like the rejection that happened, I definitely have to acknowledge like your feelings are valid. And acknowledging that just because it didn't go the right way, like doesn't mean that you're going to be stuck in this state of like being upset or angry or sad or frustration forever. It's just a temporary instance, but I have to let myself feel it. And then like, I have to go back to the concept of like, if it's really meant to be for me, then it would be. And if it's not, then it's not. And I'll move on from there. But I also feel like rejection just kind of like helps your character grow and makes you a stronger person, like especially in the sense of like a professional manner. I feel like if you're constantly getting what you want without effort and things are just coming easy to you without like a few bumps in the roads, then you don't really appreciate it the same way as you would when you've had those struggles and you finally get to achieve the thing that you wanted.
Yeah, I could not agree more with that. And I think it's really important too that when you do get rejected, you don't create a false story, like I said before earlier, because, you know, if you get rejected and you say it's the worst thing that's ever happened in your life, I can never grow from this and I suck, then you're going to believe the story that you're telling yourself. Whereas if you just learn from the rejection, whatever the scenario may be, you can move forward from that and say, what can I extract from it? So what you said is really important when you get rejected, to sit there and, you know, embrace it and feel whatever you're feeling. And then you can move forward from that. But if you never do that, you're not going to process it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think just the whole idea, I mean, also obviously sit there, process it. But the whole idea of sitting there and stewing in it does not make the situation any better either. So I feel like you have to give a little, let yourself have the emotions, and then take back that power of realizing that this is just a moment and then moving forward.
Yeah, when it comes to that, I use a rule called 80-20. So I tell people when they ask me, whether it be with anxiety or stress or whatever it is, with the people that I coach, is I think 20% of the time, and I learned this from a mentor, 20% of the time you should be in a state where you're sad and you should embrace it and understand where it's coming from, but then you have to move past it. 80% of the time you should be in that happy-go-lucky, you know, strive for greatness, just a positive attitude. So, but learn from that 20%. Just because you're sitting there and you're embracing the suck and you're understanding where the sadness is coming from doesn't mean that you don't process it and learn from it. But anything above that 20% starts to become negative and weigh you down. In my opinion.
I really like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I've never heard that before, but I really like that. And 80% is still a B average, so that's pretty good for happiness.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so now going back to more so a romantic sense or shooting your shot with like a potential partner or whatever it may be. When shooting your shot, obviously there's a line of respect. And to you, what do you think like this line of respect is?
Do you mean pertaining to like if I was to reach out to someone or if they were to reach out to me, what would I want?
How about both?
Okay, both. So first, I'll say, just so I can preface this, I don't usually reach out to people through social media in, you know, like a relationship standpoint or dating standpoint, just because I don't feel like, for me, I don't feel like that's very classy. I'd rather talk to you in person. But obviously there's scenarios where you can't do that. So I'm not saying I've never done it. I have done it before. But if I'm going to do it, I don't want to come across as everyone else. So I want to do something to stand out. So typically that means that I'm very direct. So if we're going to make plans, I will completely take control of that. And I will tell you what we're going to do. I try and be really goofy. So I don't want to be just, you know, some straight faced, boring guy. I want to stand out. And then I think three is really listening, because even if you're talking through text, I think a lot of people kind of, you know, just skim over things. They don't pay attention. If a girl is talking to me and I ask her a question, I will try and relate to whatever she's saying. Because if you can dive into people and what they're saying and relate to them, they're going to feel that rapport with you, even if that be over text message or a FaceTime call. So for me, that's what I try and do. What I like to receive is the same thing. Like, you know, I've talked to girls over social media before, girls that I've dated before we were together. And a lot of them have been really good with, you know, being open, being funny, being goofy, and like humanizing yourself. So maybe say a mistake that you made, or I really liked when you did this, or, you know, just being relatable. I think that's the most important thing.
Oh yeah, definitely. So what about when somebody reaches out to you?
So when someone reaches out to me, the thing that I appreciate the most, I would say, and I guess I look for, is I guess someone that, like I said before, isn't just looking for something from me. Because now I find a lot more that I have a platform. A lot of people come in and they just, you know, this sounds bad, but they just want me for my body, or they'll make a comment like that, like, oh, your body's amazing or something like that. And I don't appreciate that personally. I know a lot of people would, but I'm much more than just my body or my looks or, you know, my facial features, whatever that may be. So if people can step away from that and go, I really appreciate you as a person, what you're doing as an impact is amazing, and you've helped me so much, things like that I relate to a lot more because I feel like I'm impacting people's lives.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's actually funny that you bring that up. One of your videos, literally before I started recording this episode with you, I think it was you responding to a comment somebody had made about like V-lines or something like that. And I was looking at the comments, and like, it's just woman after woman making like kind of inappropriate comments about your body.
Yeah. You know, there's a point where it is laughable, because like, you know, I'm obviously someone that's, I'm open and I like to have a fun time, and like, there's nothing wrong with, you know, saying, oh, you have a nice body, or it's appreciated, but there's different ways of doing that. Right. So I do get that. And there's a reason that I usually don't post videos, you know, with my shirt off, and that's not what I build my content around, is my body.
Yeah. I completely get what you're saying. So what would you say like the worst way somebody has tried making a move on you has been?
Oh, all right. I'll try and keep this PG-13, but no, I'm an open book. I'd say in person, I was actually running pretty recently close to where I live, and it's on a very busy street. And I pulled up to, well, pulled up, I ran up to a stoplight, and I'm sitting there, and I had my AirPods in, and I hear these girls yelling at me, or I didn't, I heard someone yelling at me, so I looked over, and it was a car full of girls, and she looked over at me, and she said, "Who are you?" And I was, I didn't even know how to respond to that. I was like, "What do you mean, who am I?" I was like, "I'm me."
But you're like, I'm Dante?
Yeah, I was like, I'm a person. Who are you? But then they pull over, and there's literally seven girls in this car, I think. And she's like, "You are," sorry for the language. She's like, "You are hot as who are you?" And I was like, "Whoa." I was like, "Nice to meet you." And literally all I said to her, I was like, "Just go check me out on TikTok." That's all I said.
Oh, I
was
my
like,
God.
I was like, "I have to go." But that, to me, it's not necessarily bad. But again, it's like, you're not learning about that person for who they are if you just say, "Oh, you're hot as hell," or, you know, "Your facial features are this and that." So it's the thing that I do like from that, though, because I want women to understand this, is the confidence. So the fact that she was able to come up to me and say, "You're really attractive, who are you?" and like wants to get to know me, that's not necessarily bad, but the manner in which she did it could have been a lot more mature. So
yeah, definitely.
In person, I'd say that's probably one of the worst. I've actually had multiple occasions of that, but that was the most recent one. But over social media, I've had girls just slide in and say, "Choke me," or, you know, like, someone said, "Your hand looks really good, but it looked better like a necklace on my neck," or something like that.
Oh my God, I see that on TikTok comments all the time.
That was the first time I had heard it, I think, and I was like, "Oh, geez." I've heard other ones.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, okay. I've had other girls say, it didn't even make sense to me. She was like, "I'm ready for you to ruin my life," or something like that. And I was like, okay. Oh. I was like, well, I wouldn't, because I'm not that type of person. But so things of that nature that it immediately tells me your self-worth is pretty low. And I don't, not that it makes you a bad person by any means. I'm not judging you, but I don't personally feel attracted to that.
So as a woman on a dating app, I'm sure you can imagine that the things that women receive on there are not always the nicest. Dating apps for women are scary places to say the least. My last episode that I just recorded, actually, I was talking about with my friend how the way men slide into your messages on dating apps is the most vulgar, disgusting way ever. Okay, you don't, like, you literally don't even know my last name.
Yeah, very classy. Good job, man.
Yeah, but I definitely think when shooting your shot, like, there's that line of respect, and I think people need to, like, understand boundaries. And I think another thing that comes with that is a lot of times, I feel like, not to stereotype, but I feel this is more from men, just from, like, my experience, but guys, when they hear no or they don't get a response, for some reason, that elicits them to continue sending more messages, or like not taking no like respectfully, and it causes them to continue, and it almost in a sense like eggs them on. So it's like this weird state for women, I would say, and it's like, do I respond, do I give them that no, or do I like not say anything? Like, what's going to be the easiest way for me to get out of this situation without causing a bigger scene?
Yeah, good question. Well, I can give you an answer. So first of all, the reason that the guys are doing that is because there's ego bruised, because if you don't respond to what they're saying, they don't like being rejected. So they're like, "Oh, well, maybe she made a mistake. So let me reach out to her. I need to get a response," so that he can feel gratified. But it's ridiculous, and it just speaks volumes of them. So if I were you, I wouldn't even respond if a guy's going to say something like that. Like, if you know what you're worth and you know what you deserve, if you're hearing some bullshit like that, I wouldn't even respond to it.
Oh, yeah. Majority of the time, I don't. Unless I would like a good laugh.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes I'll respond with something a little sassy.
Yeah, you can play along with it, too, for a second, and then just, you know, see what a moron he is.
Literally. All two brain cells, they weren't working that hard.
Exactly.
Okay, so as we were talking about how we both kind of had experiences in person and online shooting your shot, I feel like in today's society, shooting your shot in person is actually pretty rare. Like you were saying, the girl with the high confidence, like being able to actually reach out to you in person was kind of surprising. But A lot of people turn to online outlets to make like those romantic connections with people. And why do you think this is?
I think it's just, you know, it's the norm. It's kind of our social culture to communicate. Like, I see so many people that can communicate for 5 hours with someone on the phone. And then when you see them in person, you can't even have a full conversation for 2 minutes. So mm-hmm. I think we've kind of been brought up this way, especially, you know, kids that are now, I'd say anywhere from like 17 to 21. We were kind of brought up in it. And obviously the kids that are younger than us now, it's just their reality, which is so unfortunate to me. I think it's definitely taking away from getting to know people for who they are, like I said, and, you know, being in tune emotionally with yourself, spiritually with yourself, mentally with yourself. Now that's just not how it works so much. And I feel like a lot of people are so afraid to reach mm-hmm. out to people in person and have that in-person interaction that it's, you know, it's like hiding behind a camera. You can hide behind your phone and reach out to someone because there's really no repercussions at all. At least not in the same sense as it would be if it was in person. So that's the reason I feel definitely. Like it is.
Definitely. I agree with that. I think like being online, it kind of gives people like a sense of comfort and makes it a little less real in a sense, because the rejection, if it was there, like let's say you do get rejected, it's a little more impersonal to have it said over text message than to your face. And in a sense, it's kind of just like a way to save your face, because it feels different hearing those words no through a screen rather than to your actual face.
Totally. And yeah, I think it's pretty obvious with the amount of people that don't do it anymore. And it's just not, it's almost weird. Like if you do that now, you're almost the outcast, which is unfortunate.
Isn't it? Like, I think, okay, at least for me, like I've had experiences with people that I actually know in person, like have recently seen them or have talked to them like in an in-person setting, not saying right now, COVID and all, but you know what I'm saying? Like I've had those instances with those people in person. And then when they go to make a move, it's like they turn to social media and I'm like, but you actually know me in person. Like you could have had this conversation with me in person and it would have meant a lot more than coming from the screen.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, I think when I was like 17, I would do that sometimes, and I think the reason for it was I wasn't really in tune with myself, and I didn't have the same amount of confidence that I do now, just that I've gained from working on mm-hmm. myself. So I would like not say something in person, internalize it, not talk about it for a week, and then finally I would text someone about it. And you know, finally I got to a point where like, this is ridiculous. I'm a very mature person, so let me handle it as such. And so when mm-hmm. stuff like that happens, or people tell me they're doing that when they ask for my advice, I'm like, communicate in person. Be upfront and be honest. Sometimes it hurts, but it's way better than you hiding behind your screen and saying some things that could be communicated verbally, you know, and any human interaction.
Yeah, definitely. As a comm major, not to toot my own horn, but I do like to pride myself in my ability to like communicate in person, just because like I think when you're having those in-person conversations, it's just way more personal. You're able to like see the tone of or hear the tone of voice, like see their facial expressions. And I think you can really tell when obviously somebody's being genuine about what they're communicating to you rather than like through a screen. You're not getting all those nonverbal cues. So I think it just makes the experience like 10 times better, whether it's something that's negative and you're trying to communicate with them something that's not good, or taking that leap of faith and like shooting your shot with them.
Yeah. And I think you can answer this, I'm sure, because you're a comm major, but I believe 90% of communication is nonverbal. So when you don't have, when you don't have that interaction, you don't really know people's social cues. Like you don't know exactly how they're feeling, what might have, you know, turned them wrong, because you can't see it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, but an emoji does not make up for it.
No, not at all. And like, I think the best thing that I can think that you could do if you're not in person is obviously FaceTime, or some type of video chat, or two is like sending a voice recording so people can hear the sound of your voice and how you're feeling, and are you coming from a place of empathy, like whatever that may be. I think that's a good way to do mm-hmm. it if you're not in person, right? That's like last resort.
Yeah, I definitely am one of those people who sends voice texts all the time.
Yeah, and it's quicker too. Like you're saving yourself time.
Absolutely. I don't have to sit there and type a message that I don't want to be typing anyway. So I'm like, let me just give you the full story as I hold down my screen.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So now to a little bit more personal, what is your best and worst story where you have shot your shot?
Best and worst story. Okay. So as I said before, again, I want to state this before I say anything like this because I'm not an arrogant person. I'm a confident person, but I'm not coming from a place of arrogance when I say this, okay? Is
confidence not cocky.
Exactly. All the girls that I've dated, been in a relationship with, gone out with, whatever it may be, they've all reached out to me first with the exception of, I think, one. So I don't have a whole lot of experience in this, to be completely honest. But I can think of one where I actually was the one that reached out to her. And I was a junior in high school, I believe. No, I was a senior. Senior in high school. And there was this girl since junior year that I was like head over heels for. I just thought she was gorgeous and she was cool. Like we had talked, we had the same classes together. And so finally I was like, you know what? I'd never done this before either. Because like I said, the girls would always reach out to me. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to, after school, we had the sidewalk where everyone was at. We had like, I don't know, 1,500 kids at our school. So there was a lot of people out there. But I'm like, I'm going to go approach her when she's walking out to her car. I'm going to get her number and I'm going to ask her out on a date. And so I had my group of friends all with me and I saw her pass me because I was waiting for her. I was like, check this out because I didn't tell what I was doing. So I run over to her. I start talking to her and I got her number. I turned around and they all started cheering and they were going crazy. It was like the whole school was watching me. I was like, what the heck? But anyways, it was a funny experience because nothing even ended up happening with her. But besides the point, I just thought that it was just a funny interaction because all my friends were like sitting there like fans. They were like trying to wait to see what was going to happen, building up the anticipation. So that was good. and I was scared out of my mind. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Now I'm not really like that. Like I feel like I can pretty much talk to anybody. But at the time I was a very introverted shy kid. So that was probably my best, I would say. Okay. My worst. Let's see. Okay, so when I was in North Dakota, obviously I had a lot of teammates. You know, I was a college basketball player. Athletes tend to be, I'm not speaking for myself, but a lot of athletes tend to be kind of like horn dogs, and they're all over the place, and they're talking to as many girls as they can. So for me, it was weird because I was like trying to keep them all in check. But anyways, so we were in the cafeteria or our lunch area. And I noticed one of my teammates had been there for a week and he's talking to this girl. So I walked over to him just trying to be like a fly guy. And I was like, geez, Joe, always picking up the ladies. And then she turned to me as soon as he left. She came over to the salad bar and she started talking to me. And she's like, I heard you coming over to the dorms tonight, which I was not. I don't know where she got that from. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, I'm actually not. And then we started talking and I'm not going to get into all that, but basically she was like, oh yeah, I didn't think you were that attractive when we first talked. And then she's like, I noticed you after that. And it just went down this path, but that wasn't really the worst.
Okay, that's so mean. That is
it,
so mean.
Oh, it was mean. But I think she just said that to get my attention because turns out she really did like me and we ended up dating. But I don't know what that was about, but I can't really think of anything that's like terrible. So I'd say out of the worst, that's probably it, I guess.
Okay, that's honestly not that bad.
No, I don't really have any bad experiences.
Okay, well, good for you. Sorry, we don't all have that.
I don't tolerate bullshit, so I don't usually get myself into situations like that.
I like to say I don't tolerate bullshit either, but sometimes things happen, okay?
No, it's true. It's true. No judgment.
First off, before I share my best and worst, yes, I know I am full on cringe. But they are funny stories. Okay, so I was with a group of friends, well, two other friends, my friend Lauren and my friend Carson, and we were doing a road trip to Arizona, but before we went to Arizona, we had stopped in San Diego, and which is where I live, and we ended up going to La Jolla, which is like this really nice beachy area. People are like always surfing there, and it's so impacted. So you normally have to park like a couple would be generous, but you normally have to park decently away from the beach. And we were parking in a residential neighborhood. And since we were on a road trip, we had a rental car. And Lauren, who's driving, she's the only one on the rentals insurance, so the rest of us can't even get into the driver's seat, is trying to parallel park the car. And let me just tell you, she, like, cannot parallel park to save her life. These two really cute guys in a car drive past us, and you could tell that they were watching us struggle. And so my friend Carson gets out of the car, and she yells at them, and she was like, hey, could you guys come help us park this car? And so the two guys end up getting out, walking over, and they're like trying to direct Lauren how to park the car. It's not going anywhere. The situation's getting worse. We're almost hitting the car that's parked in front of us. And we're like, this is a rental. We can't do this. They ended up having another friend who was meeting them there who ended up driving down the street and was like, hey, there's an open spot down here. Like, do you just want to take this and then all parallel park and take your guys's? So we were like, oh my God, thank you for saving our lives. We end up switching spots with him and we get out of the car, park, blah, blah, blah. So we're all walking down the street. The guys go back to their car. They end up walking behind us, probably like 10, 15 feet behind us. And like, we all just kept staring at each other, making eye contact. It was like that tension that you know was there. It was like, is somebody going to say something? Like waiting for the other party. And we end up going down to the beach. And my friends and I had food that we were going to be like eating, like having a picnic. And the guys were carrying surfboards. And so like, they're walking away to like go do their thing. And Lauren says to me, she's like, oh, like we should have asked for their numbers. And I was like, well, we still can. Like, who cares? Worst thing that happens is these guys reject us. I don't care. So as the ballsy gal that I like to take pride in being, I tell her, I was like, I will talk. Let's just go over there. Like, I don't care. So we end up going up to these guys and we ended up getting all of their like Snapchats. Come to find out, they all went to SDSU, which is where I go. And we ended up like making friends with these guys. Like, I stayed in contact with them for like a month and a half, 2 months after this happened. Like, super random, but yeah, ended up working out. So
that's good. But, way to be the ballsy one too. I'd like to feel like I'm that one as well.
Yeah. Well, because like, again, the worst thing that's going to happen is they say no.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's the philosophy.
Yeah, absolutely. So now that I'm thinking about it, my worst, I would say if I was the guy receiving these, I would not respond either. I'm completely cringy for this. So again, I feel like all this happens when I'm with my friends, but the first one is my friends and I were in an In-N-Out drive-thru, and the guy working at the window was just absolutely so cute. And my friends are like, oh, we should ask for his number. Well, we end up going through it. We didn't say anything. And I was like, you know what? Go back through. Round two, baby. I'll get a milkshake. I don't care. So we go back through the drive-thru. And obviously, like, wait, have you had In-N-Out?
Of course.
Oh, okay, good. Just wanted to make sure. But so anyways, the In-N-Out receipts, they have like the number at the top of them, right? Yes. And so we go through, get back to the window to where he is. I'm holding the receipt with the number on it. And I was like, hey, the number on my receipt is wrong. And he was like, what? And I was like, yeah, it's not your number. And he just looked at me nice, and like laughed. Thank you. Thank you. And I didn't even let him have a response. I was like, go, go, go. Told my friends to drive off because I was so humiliated feeling.
You should have stayed. He probably would have given it to you.
I know. I was just a little nervous. Okay. This was younger me.
See, if you're going to be the ballsy one, you can't be all nervous. You got to stand your ground. You did the right thing. You were outgoing.
If this was now, though, I would have stayed. But when I did it, I was slightly not as confident.
Fair enough.
Okay, so coming to the last point of the episode, after me sharing all my sad stories, any advice that you would like to share with the listeners when it comes to shooting your shot?
Yes. I think in general, just dive into other people. So what I mean by that is be willing to learn who they are and what they have to say. And pay attention to it and don't be selfish. So yeah, I'd say that's the most simple thing. And try and be unique, you know, try and stand out from what other people are saying, what other people are doing. Because if you're just generic, people aren't going to want to talk to you. It's boring.
Yeah, those are all good points. For me, I think mine is don't let fear hold you back. If you let fear hold you back, you're going to end up missing out on so many things and some of those things that could be life-changing for you. So, and definitely, okay, I have to take my own advice. That's definitely something I need to work on as well, is not letting fear hold me back. But yeah, that would be my one piece of advice to give.
I like that. And actually, I want to go back on what I said, because that was way too generic. Speaking of generic, I was pertaining more to like DMs, but if we're talking about like, you know, all in general, I want to come from like a more loving place and just say that for me in my life, nothing that I've done so far, not that I've accomplished a lot, but anything great that I've accomplished, whether it be, you know, like becoming a college athlete or any of the stuff I've done in business, or even if it just be like social media and having an impact on the world, none of that stuff would have happened if I didn't get outside of my comfort zone. So what I want to tell people is understand that the best version of you lies on the other side of that fear, but you need to be able to embrace it. So that would be my dad, Dante, coming out and giving people some fatherly advice.
Okay, so that is all we have for this week's episode. I would like to give a huge thank you to Dante for being a part of it. As always, if you would like to connect with me or this podcast further, you can find me on Instagram at SarahRMoore282 and the official page for this podcast, which is at TBDAdult. And if you would like to connect with Dante, you can find him at...
It's Dante, DanteSal, B as in boy, number 3. That's my Instagram. TikTok is Dante's Life, same spelling. And my YouTube, which I haven't posted to yet, but I will be doing that soon, is Dante's Vlogs.
Very exciting. Thank you again for being a part of this episode.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. And if anyone wants to reach out to me, please do. I'd be happy to talk to you and get to know you guys.
In his thousands of DMs.
Yes, if I can get to it.
All right. Thank you so much.